y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
One, two, three.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling Stones of the Raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Spell it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Well, how you doing? It's Miguel and Holly, Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Miss Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
That is Associate Producer Scotty the Body from USF.
Hey.
And we are just eating some food. Holly, what are you chewing on?
I got a chicken tender, deliciously dipped in ranch.
Oh.
I believe the Blue Buffalo has been all used.
Yummy.
From PDQ.
Mm.
They brought it for free.
You know what? PDQ, they should sponsor our live taping of Miguel and Holly Uncensored.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll eat while we do the taping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we did like a live taping, because I was thinking about this.
Oh my gosh, we totally should.
Like, where should we do this? Like, should it be like a Saturday night, a Friday night? And so basically what this consists of is we would set up on a stage somewhere. And I thought of this because we did Miguel's Big Gay Brunch right after Pride, St. Pete Pride at Yardaville. And they had like a nice little stage right there. You could put a table and some microphones and we could record. And we're just sitting around drinking, talking, recording a podcast. And it's just for the grown folks only. Would you be down for that? To pay like $5, $10 for a ticket, you know, and then we hang out for an hour or two?
Listen,
and
you know what? People go to comedy hours or whatever.
Right.
And pay money to see something that they're not sure is going to be funny.
True.
You know that you're going to laugh at least once with us.
At least once.
I mean, but here's the thing, though. I don't want to promise that because our podcast is not always funny. Like, sometimes it's serious.
But Miguel.
And yes.
Are you about to act right now like when people come in to sit down, you're not going to be doing some shucking and jiving to make people laugh?
No, it's true. But then I also know, because I would want it to be a loose structure.
Right.
And I don't want it to be like a big full production.
It's not. And we would make sure that people know it's not.
Right.
You got to come knowing that it's going to be us.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in ill-fitting clothing.
Yep.
With our microphones and our headphones.
Yep.
And that's it.
Speaking of ill-fitting clothes, and let us know if you think this is a good idea. You can always email me, Miguel at hot1015tampabay.com. Because if we have a lot of interest, then I can take this to a business and say, hey, we've got this many people who listen to our podcast. Mm-hmm. Because we honestly don't know how many people listen. And so if we did know, then I could go to a Yardaville, to a Franklin Manor, to a Avenue or Park and Rec and say, hey, let's make this happen. But really quick side tangent, because I do have a couple of things that I wanted to hit on before we get done with the podcast. I went to a store that will remain unnamed this past weekend at International Mall.
All right.
And the gentleman that was at the cash register had on some very fitting clothes, pants, sort of like what Pitbull wears.
Oh.
Where, like, it's just real tight. Like, you can see almost the outline of his penis.
Oh, wow.
Oh, whoa.
And I was like, that is distracting. That is, like, that's a lot. And, like, I could not stop looking. But then I was like, wait a minute. We're living in a new era that just because someone wears something that shows off does not mean you have the right to look. So then I felt guilty for looking. But it was like, because you know how, like, sometimes if you have, like, a lower counter and the chair is a little bit higher, and so, like, literally as I'm putting in my credit card, it's in my direct eyesight of his large package sitting there.
Oh, Lord.
And then I was like, I felt guilty for looking, but I was like, but it was right there. And so then I was like, I don't even know what to feel. I don't know.
Well, and this is going to be an unpopular opinion, and I'm nervous to say this.
Mm.
However, in the age of political correctness,
right?
You're right. You wear whatever you want to,
right?
And you should be secure and safe and not be subjected to people's ogling,
right?
However, in the past 10 to 15 years, when we've become such a politically correct and a better society in that way,
right?
we didn't change who we are. Mm-hmm. We're still mm-hmm. human beings.
Right.
A vagina and a penis and boobs, they're still considered private parts.
Yes.
Right.
Very much so.
And it's still indecent to put your private parts out in public. Now, when you dress yourself to showcase these assets, that is your absolute right and privilege to do so.
Right.
You should do it. And yes, we're living in a time when you should be able to do it without getting ogled. I don't know that we're ever going to get to that time unless we all just start walking around naked. And
yeah.
it's not mysterious anymore because it's human nature
right.
to think of that as taboo. Mm-hmm. And now it's even more out there and you just, it is what it is. It's not like I'm saying like, oh yes, you should expect to be ogled and you know, you deserve that. Not what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying it's real difficult to put, you know, thousands of years of human nature on hold while in the last 10 years we're like, I'm gonna put my titties out.
Right. Because, I mean, here's, and this is where I know, especially like as a black person who talks about privilege a lot when it comes to white friends and whatnot, I know also as a male, I have privilege to where I have a pair of shorts that are really short. I only wear them on the weekend. I don't wear them to work because I know that they're, I mean, like my junk's not hanging out, but you can definitely like see my thighs.
Upper thighs.
My upper thighs and whatnot. And I wear them because they make me feel good. I feel very confident. I feel very sexy when I wear them. And so I wear them on the weekends when we go out. Now, I don't expect for someone to touch my leg.
Right.
I don't expect for someone to touch my butt.
No.
But I do hope that for once in my life, when I wear those shorts, someone's like, ooh, I don't know you, but look at them thighs, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
But I also know that as a man, I've never mm-hmm. walked around with the fear of thinking that someone was going to rape me or harm me in that because I'm a big black dude.
Right.
You know, and so I have that privilege. And so that's why I wanted to know from you, I feel like my point is mute. Or my opinion about it, about like when I wear my shorts as opposed to like when you wear something with your cleavage out where like you know that people are going to look, or do you expect them not to look if you have your cleavage out?
I absolutely expect them to look.
Right.
I absolutely do. Because again, it's human nature. Like we can be all politically correct as we want, but I'm still going to teach my daughter, you have to be careful. It's scary right now because there's a super fine line between, you know, victim blaming and just protecting yourself. And I'm never going to blame it. Like, no one ever deserves to be assaulted or touched even or whatever.
Right.
But on my parental end and on my woman end, I'm also going to try not to let that happen in any way that I can because I know what can happen. Just because it shouldn't doesn't mean it doesn't.
So is this sort of where I've seen documentaries where they say, you know, you teaching your daughter who's 5 now, you know, wear what you want to wear, but then also you got to be careful that if you're putting it out there, you obviously should not feel ashamed of it if you want to put it out there, but then you know that there are evil people that will take advantage of that.
Yes. Mm.
Whereas on the other side, parents should teach their little boys that, okay, you can look. It's a natural thing to want to look, but that gives you absolutely no right to make a comment, to make a scene about it, or
no.
to touch because that is not yours to touch.
Correct.
So I think
it's
that
tough.
So, like, you can look for, like, a second, but you shouldn't ogle or—and I will say even I was in the wrong for this, and this is— You know, when the Me Too movement started, it made me rethink my social media. Because remember back in the day,
mm-hmm.
we weren't friends yet, Scott. But when I would see like really good looking dudes on my Snapchat, I would take a picture of them. And I would normally try not to show their face. But if you thought like their arms or whatever, their figure, then I would put a red circle around it. And so that was like the big thing on my social media back in the day was, oh, who's going to get the red circle? And then after the Me Too movement, I was like, oh, my God, I'm totally objectifying these guys. And reducing them down to just their physical assets.
Right.
And so it's an interesting conversation.
It is.
As we evolve. And like in that moment when I was like, girl, he got a beer can up in his pants. Wait, why am I looking? I shouldn't be looking. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
The thing is, as a human, it's tough because it's like we can't even have these conversations anymore
yeah.
without someone getting upset.
Mm-hmm.
And then the problem is like someone could come at me just for this conversation and be like, well, you're anti-feminist, or just sling whatever word. And anybody can sling any word now, but you got to be real careful because some words carry a lot of weight. And if you're labeled as one thing, it can be real hard to try to explain your point of view refute.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Refute something that someone says about you, because after someone says one thing, people don't really want to hear anything else.
Right.
Because we have such short attention spans.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, it's true.
In this canceled culture, it's tough.
And we dealt with that this morning on our show. We did a Tampa Bay train wreck where you talked about a guy that got mad at his girlfriend or wife for bringing home the wrong food from a fast food establishment. And it was what we do on our show. If you don't listen to the regular broadcast show, we call it a Tampa Bay train wreck. Usually you'll ask us, Holly, to guess, you know, what item they had or what happened. Mm-hmm. And so we were sort of just laughing because he threw sauce at her because he was mad she didn't have the right sauce or whatever. And someone tweeted us and said, well, you all, domestic abuse is never funny and you shouldn't laugh. I'm sad. I love you all, but I'm disappointed. Now, she didn't say disappointed, but I'm sad that you all laughed at that. And that was the gist of her tweet.
Yeah.
And then I responded and said, listen, as a person who grew up, I saw my mom go through domestic violence before, and I've seen that happen twice in my life. It's not funny. But then I also know that you have to look at how ridiculous that situation is, and we're not making fun or making light of what he did.
Right.
We're making him look dumb by saying, you stupid asshole, for getting so irate over a sauce that you thought it was okay to throw it at your wife. That's not okay.
Right.
And then we also take a quick second to, like, laugh, and because I love food, to say, oh, girl, you know, I'd get upset if, you know, Abe, my boyfriend, didn't bring home some extra ranch, but I would never physically harm him.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the culture we live in right now, where it's like, I feel like if I could ask one thing of our culture, is to, like, really look at people's intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, was our talking about that story us saying, if you've ever been beat before, you're done, you deserved it? Like, absolutely not. I saw my mom go through that.
Right.
That is the last thing I want.
Right.
And so I wish if we would all, and I'm including this in myself too, and I do this with news stories, and especially when it comes to our president, before I fire off a tweet or I post something on my story, I take a second and I say, all right, what was the intention here?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'm like, all right, they fully deserve to be dragged because their intention was evil.
Right.
Or maybe it was they were misspeaking, or I heard it differently because it affects me.
Or I didn't have all of the facts.
Boom. Right.
Or I wasn't sure about the rest of the story.
Right.
And that's the thing, too, is like if you and it sucks because social media is so prevalent and us, like, you know, putting stuff out and media putting stuff out, is that people don't actually read the story.
Right.
They'll, like, read the headline.
That's it.
Or they'll get a couple pieces and they're like, oh, done, mm-hmm. judged it, moved right. on, moved on to the right. next one, canceled, bye. And it's really tough, especially being in radio. It's different, I feel like, for, like, TV, because
mm-hmm.
you're not really giving opinion.
No, you're just reporting the story.
Right, but, like, with radio, it's our job to do stuff like this.
Which, you know, I'll tell you, and this is, I had some other things I wanted to get into, but it's...
We'll get into your things.
No, but this is fascinating, because, I mean, I was thinking this the other day when, yesterday, we were talking about the whole Taylor Swift, Scooter Braun situation. Back in the day when we started working together, Holly, in 2008,
uh-huh.
we would do entertainment stories, and our first reaction was usually, like, lowest common denominator. It was like, we're making fun of people, we're calling them dumb, they're stupid, why would you do that?
Always with celebrities are the butt of the joke.
Right.
Because we were like, oh, look at these rich people with their fancy lives, like, right. get it together.
But then we evolved, and then we started looking at these stories and saying, all right, they're human beings, what's deeper behind it?
Right.
But then with that, I find it sometimes hard when we do the entertainment segment, because I like to know all the facts. And so, like, that whole Taylor Swift story, I really didn't want to give an opinion because I don't feel like we know all the facts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so then people are going to hold you accountable for what you say. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but I have to talk about it.
Right.
So it's like, it's a really interesting time right now for people that work in this industry that give their opinion where it's not just fact, because I kind of want to wait a couple of days sometimes to be able to give my opinion about it, because I don't know.
Right.
I can sit here and defend Taylor Swift, but then what if she comes out in a couple of days and she's like, I'm sorry, y'all, I messed up, I didn't have all the facts. And I was wrong and I apologize. And then I look like a fool for, you know, just blindly following. And so it's just an interesting time we're living in right now.
Very much, because you're not really given the chance. Nobody wants to know facts and stuff anymore. In fact, sometimes if facts don't line up with what your belief is, you throw them out. It's like a legit psychological phenomenon.
It's true.
And that's why you get these echo chamber effects where you surround yourself with people of the same opinion of you, which makes it a lot easier to post some stuff on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But you aren't getting the full story. And that goes both ways.
No, it's true. I mean, that's one of the reasons why. I mean, I regret it a little bit. But like during the last election in 2016, I deleted a few people who were, I mean, we talk about politics on the podcast, not on air, but I deleted some Trump supporters because of what they were saying, not just because they were Trump supporters, but it was how they were talking about it and calling people on the other side snowflakes and all this other stuff and the disparaging things that they were saying about Hillary Clinton that I was like, well, girl, let's take a look at your candidate for a second. Like, let's not throw stones about personal stuff. Let's keep it based on fact, you know, anyway. So it's just an interesting time that we're living in as we try to navigate that with our show.
Agreed.
I did want to get to an email that we got from a Miguel and Holly family member. This is Ashley.
Oh, Ashley.
She sent me an email, and we always say if you want some Miguel and Holly swag or some stickers, I do have some leftover Miguel and Holly pride stickers if you want to save them for next year. And you can always send me an email, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com, and we'll mail it to you. But she sent me her address to mail her stuff. And then she said, I also wanted to tell you that I absolutely enjoyed the last podcast, What Would You Do If You Weren't Afraid? Mm. It really makes you sit back and realize what you really want out of life that you're too scared to do. It's definitely something I needed to hear today. It really makes me question myself and figure out what I really want out of life. And am I doing everything possible to get there? Mm. I want to say thank you to you, Holly and Scotty, for everything y'all do. Even though I don't live in Florida anymore, I still feel like I'm there when I listen to the podcast. And even felt it more today because that heat up here was insane. And she lives in Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, hey!
And from the bottom of my heart, thank you for my sticker. Love y'all so much. Ashley!
Oh, that's great.
So if you ever want to say anything about the podcast, feel free to email us.
Questions, comments, concerns.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Bring the dirt.
Yeah.
So I'm having a little bit of trouble right now because, Scott, you're moving into my house.
Yes. Yes, I am. In under a month. In like a couple weeks. 2 weeks, probably? Let's see. Yeah. Like 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
I'm in.
You're moving in.
Oh, yeah.
Here's where I'm a little nervous about is I've got to find a roommate for my friend Derek that moved down.
Oh, he's not.
Wait, you got to find a roommate?
No, I have to find him a roommate to move in with him into his new apartment.
Why is that your job?
My job.
Oh.
I'm just trying to help him.
Wait, I didn't know he was looking for a roommate.
He is, because he originally was moving down here from Panama City with one friend originally that they both came down here to look at places. And then that person bailed. And then we had another friend from up there that was like, oh, my God, I really like it down here. They were like, I'm going to try to get down here. And then they said, you know what? I got to wait a year. And so now Derek is like, I'm not going back, but I got to find an option.
Yeah.
And so, last night we were talking. He's like, I need to find a roommate to help me pay because it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's sure very is. Expensive to live here. And so.
Yes.
I'm like, I need to find somebody to move in with him where he's moving into in St. Pete, if you know of anybody.
See, I'm not even used to that. Like, I forgot about that side because in college, it's like if you needed a roommate, they just put it in there. Like, you don't even have to. Like, I wouldn't even have to pay if I didn't have another roommate.
Mm.
Like, I would just have to pay my own individual rent if there's an empty room. Like, they would fill it because it's on the apartment. So I didn't know that was an adulting thing where it's like, you have to find people. Is that why they put it in, like, newspaper ads?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's weird. That's
This is not college. They don't just match you up with people.
So you didn't know that like if you move into one of the apartments over here by the radio station, if it was like a two bedroom, if the other person doesn't, the you have to pay for the whole thing?
See, that's BS. Like, I would hate that. I'm glad. Okay, this makes it even more sense that I'm moving in with you instead of doing that, because I definitely don't have the money to pay for two rooms, nevertheless, one. Wow, what an adulting moment right now.
That is, you know what, I don't move on. I have a thing that we didn't get to in Trending in Tampa Bay, and I want to read it because it is so accurate. Where in the hell is my...
I'm so... That is so fun.
Yeah, I know. But this is so accurate for Scotty. So where's my trending paper? Hold on. Come on. Okay. Let's see. A lot of the interns at businesses this summer are from Generation Z, which that's you, Scott.
That's
you're
me.
Gen Z.
Yeah.
Those are people born between the mid-90s and the mid-2000s. And they're great with technology, but they don't know how to do basic things like using a landline, addressing an envelope, or reading cursive. And that one about addressing an envelope, I was like, wow. I wouldn't have thought that that's real, except that was real for Scott.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I saw that list, it's like, oh, I nailed all of them. Because I didn't even really know how to use an office phone, like this one, like that I answer for the show. Until, like, I got here and I had to, like, work with, then there's multiple buttons and how to make a call go out. Because, like, I've worked in an office, but, like, okay, that phone was kind of basic. I learned that, but I didn't know it right away. And this phone was even more, so I was like, okay, I don't know how to do that. Luckily, now I've learned. And then we saw I didn't know how to do an envelope. But that's because we never had to do it. Like, growing up, I never had to mail anything out. Maybe with a thank you letter, but I don't even think I mailed that out. I just wrote the note, and my mom mailed it out. Ugh. And then we had email, and now you could just send, like, thank you emails. And then that works. And now you don't even send emails. I just send like a quick text or a Facebook message. Say, thank you. Love you. Mean it. Bye.
Now, you know what? We can't be mad at Scott.
I'm not mad. I'm not bringing this up to make fun or to be mad. I'm bringing it up because there is such a drastic line in the sand between our two generations. And like people are like, oh, between Gen X and the millennials. Not really. Like, especially I'm an older millennial. And I had the best of both worlds. Like,
right.
I grew up in a time when there literally was no technology except for TVs and microwaves. But I'm on board with all of the latest technology nowadays. I'm a little slow, but I get it.
Right.
Whereas between, like, when you came up in the technological generation and you never got the prior stuff.
Right.
You don't know how to do these basic things that used to be basic.
But then I feel like... Like, that's your parents' fault, though. And, like, and I put this a little bit on the parents that are, have raised that generation to not have to do those things.
Well, it's like, we never had, like, why would we have to learn it if it was, like, it was already, like, fading out? Like, it wasn't even a thing anymore. There was already a better way to do it.
Or it's like, did they know that they were doing you a disservice by, like, I would never think to myself, I better make sure Maya knows how to address a letter just because it just doesn't cross my mind. But now I have to rethink all that stuff.
I don't know. I guess maybe because I'm so weird. Like, if I ever had kids, I would want them to have, like, a pen pal. Like, I signed up for a pen pal service. Don't know if they have those anymore.
I doubt it.
But I remember his name was Eddie Ewell, and he lived in California. And, like, all through middle school and high school, we used to write letters back and forth, and we'd send each other school pictures and stuff. And then, of course, we obviously came out to each other later on because, of course, we were gay.
Of course. It was only the gay boys on PayPal.
Exactly.
PayPal went pen pal.
Pen pals.
I told my daughter about pen pals, and she could not grasp that concept. She's like, what is a pen pal? Because I had a pen pal one summer. I went to church camp, and her name was Courtney. And we would like, she just lived in the lower part of Ohio, but we would just write letters.
Yes.
And so I explained that to her, and she's like, well, why didn't you call? And I was like, that's not,
you had to pay for long distance.
You did. And like, you just didn't talk on the phone to like a random person in fifth grade.
No.
That you didn't know that well.
No.
So you wrote a letter, and she's like, well, did you text him? And I was like, no, that phones didn't exist when I was that young. It's bananas.
No, it's hard for a child like that to grasp, you know, the time. Because I remember being in probably, this is before we moved to Denver. No, this is probably third grade. I remember being in class and our art teacher was talking about, I think it was like Van Gogh. And she was like, you know, and back then they didn't have this and this. And I was like, I remember... Because I will never forget the look on her face. I raised my hand. She goes, yes, Miguel. I said, Miss Gilbert, when you were growing up, did y'all have electricity? And she looked at me with the most disdain on her face.
Yeah.
And she had like a shock of blonde hair. She had bright red lipstick and really like severe makeup. And she looked at me and was like, yes, we did, Miguel. I'm not a dinosaur. And I will never forget that feeling of being like 7, 6 and being like, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Because you just don't know. No. You don't know.
Exactly. And that's why my daughter is like, oh, back in the old days, like in the 80s and 90s, the old days. I'm like, that was not the, actually for you, yes, it is.
Yeah, it was. Scott, do you remember when you had a cell phone, you had a certain amount of minutes that you could use?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to have like a block, like flip, but I had to share it with my brother and we could only make like calls in the beginning. It was only calls at night. So it was like after 9 o'clock.
Free nights and weekends.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, who would I call? I was like in like third grade. Like, yeah. I'm not going to call anybody. But then by the time I got to sixth grade, I got my actual phone that I could text on.
Oh my God.
And I think that was the first time I had like unlimited texting was the thing where I got my little cool flip phone. And from there, it was like, we're not going to call each other. We're going to text each other constantly.
I remember there was my first job out of college. And having only a certain amount of minutes every month. And then I remember I changed my voicemail one time in the middle of the month. And I was like, hey, it's Miguel. I've run out of minutes for the month. But just call me after 9 or on the weekend. Don't send me a text because I don't have unlimited texting. See you later. My mom left a voicemail at you. I wish I still had the save. She was like, if you don't take this goddamn message off this phone sounding like a po-ass nigga, what are you doing, bitch? You better take this off here now. Love, Mom.
Love, Mom.
I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
She was like, don't you let people know you ain't got no goddamn money. I was like, I'm sorry, Mom. I was just being honest. And I think
that is fantastic.
That's when she saw how my radio career was going to go. Then no matter what happens in my life, I'm always going to be honest and tell the truth.
Yeah, no, that's true. My company paid for the very first phone I had, cell phone, was when I was 22.
Ooh.
And the only reason I got it was because the company that I had started working for, Clear Channel.
Oh.
They were like, what's your cell number for when you're out at remotes? And I was like, I don't have one. So if you want to get a hold of me, I think you should get me one.
Oh.
That was my only one time that I bargained the shit out of something.
Wow.
And then they did. But every freaking week, my boss would call me and be like, Hall, you're going over the text. It was like my dad. I was like, I'm sorry, Ed. Everybody texts. He's like, not when they're getting paid by their employer's phone.
Ooh.
Or whatever. So anyway, I learned a lesson.
I've never gotten a nice perk like that before.
Well, our business manager was also embezzling from the company.
Oh.
So, I mean, I moved to Florida, and I was still on that phone plan for at least 6 months.
I remember that. Yeah. That flip phone you had?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the Razor.
I
had a pink one.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, that wasn't the first phone I had. The first phone I had was a little Kyocera, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had the pink flip Razor, and they paid for it for like the first 6 months plus that I lived in Florida. And then she went to jail, and they stopped my phone plan promptly.
That's awkward. It's so crazy to think how long I've known you, Holly. I was doing a little Q&A on my Instagram yesterday, and someone was like, how long have you known Holly? Or when did you meet Holly? And I was like, at a morning show conference in 2008. Eight.
Bananas.
It is about to be 2020.
It was a different time.
Getting older is just so insane to me.
It's bizarre.
Because it's like, you know all this stuff about a person.
Yeah.
And where you've been and you've seen them grow. But
and
it
change.
Seems like you change. But it seems like it wasn't that long ago, though.
No.
I came
across our video when we went to Pier Park to sing musical theater songs in the middle
to debunk musical cliches.
Yes. And we were so young, and we were just Holly and Miguel-ing it up, but like in a different way.
Non-polished.
Aww. Yes, very.
I mean, we're not really polished now.
Well,
so.
No, but we both looked a little rough around the edges. I feel like we had that glow up at some point.
I love how probably twice a year when I see your mom, Holly, she's like, you just, Miguel, you've really grown into yourself. You've really just, I remember when you were young, you were.
I'm like, Ma, we get it.
Like, she's pretty much close to saying I was just shapes and I was fat. She's like, you've really grown into yourself.
Welcome to living with my mom.
Yeah, and we'll be saying that about you, Scott, here in 10 years.
Oh, gosh, that's not rushing.
Remember when you were just a little baby DJ?
Scott, do you think you'll work with us for 10 years?
I don't know.
Oh, wow.
He said F you guys.
did not say that. Can you imagine being around us for the next 10 years?
And we're annoying as hell.
Oh, well, I don't. Could you imagine being around me for the next 10 years?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just waiting for you to cry one time.
Don't grow into a douchebag or anything.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to. I think I'm going to get only nicer as the time goes on.
No. Yeah, you're going to be too. Actually, we're going to have to get rid of you because you're going to be too syrupy sweet. And we need somebody with some heft. Or Holly will just have to become a bigger douchebag.
I'm not going to be a douchebag. I'm just going to be a bigger dick.
There we go. I'm okay with it.
So, I mean, I have been through all the different parts, I feel like.
Yes.
Because they always say, like, a morning show needs a dick, a deer, and a dork. So I'll let you two fight amongst that, but I can just take on the dick. That's fine. Ah, save that.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and then Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scotty the Body, what's yours?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller on Instagram, Twitter, Radio Miguel if you get on Facebook. Make sure to listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored on Hot1015TampaBay.com, or you can download the free Hot1015 app, or if you have an iPhone, just go to a little podcast app, type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored, and if you do, please, please, please rate and subscribe us there. Have a beautiful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.